gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
I feel like my team is probably going to go undefeated this year. Yeah, I do feel like I got pretty much all the good players.
You're calling undefeated season for Caddyshack Williams.
Yes, that's correct. It's like when Joe Namath guaranteed the Super Bowl. Did he really know that they were going to win? I mean, let's be real, no. But did he have, a 99% sure feeling? Yeah, he did. And that, so do I. Yeah. My biggest bad emotion. My peanut butter chocolate cake with candy, S-L-A-N-G, thinking about taking $1 million insurance policy out of my mouth.
Transition to a Lamborghini from a Mustang. Drug sling in the drug gang with the hustling. One thing. Anything is better than that.
You're the best podcast guy in the business. What we're here for. Hey, it's great to be back on your wonderful podcast.
The Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. Here's your commissioner, Rick.
Welcome to episode 4 of season 2 of the Semi-Pro Ducks Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Rick, the commissioner. Thank you for listening to the number 16 rated podcast in the U.S. I can't believe we made it here. I have so many people to thank. First off, Jordan, anti-JoJo of the week, for coming up with the idea for the podcast. I have to thank the listeners, obviously all of you out there who have listened week in and week out for the past year and 3 weeks now. I can't believe we've gone so far. I didn't want our name to be out in the public just because, all the hype would get to your heads. It would get to my head. So just don't tell anybody that we're the number 16 podcast in the U.S., but we are. Just keep that just right here. I'm pointing to my heart. Keep that right in here. You'll always have it. It'll always be with you. We got a great episode for you here today. We got Brandon and Scott coming on. We're going to talk about some great stuff. We got some great segments upcoming. I think everybody's going to enjoy it. And best of luck to everybody in their matchups this week, unless you're playing me, Andrew. You can have a good week next week. How about that? So here we are, episode 4. Enjoy, everyone.
I see the sunrise creeping in.
This is Chris Stapleton playing Traveler, because kicking off week 3 is our own Worldwide Traveler, our league travel guide. Hashtag this intro sucks, tell your friends. It's Brandon. Welcome to the pod. Brandon, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Rick. How about yourself?
Doing great. You're the traveler. Any fun travel places that you've been to recently?
I actually just got back from a trip. Quick secret before we just to inform the listeners, I have watched 12 total minutes of football this entire year because I was traveling these last 2 weekends. Actually, I did a big road trip through Utah, did a bunch of the national parks, and then went to the Grand Canyon.
Wow, so, been all over the place.
Conveniently.
All right.
Fitting of the name.
Yeah. All right. So 2 weeks in, we're taking a look.
Expert.
Yeah, absolutely. 2 weeks in, we're taking a look at the standings. You're one of 3 undefeated teams so far. You're taking on another one of those undefeated teams this week. How you feeling? How does it feel to be up there?
It definitely feels good. I'm probably more surprised than anyone to be 2-0, but gotten a lot of touchdowns, which is a really good feeling. And I think my team's kind of rounding itself into shape. I think we have a lot of potential going forward, but I definitely, I'm feeling good about myself, but I don't feel like I'm necessarily one of the best 3 teams in the league quite yet. But, stay humble.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
Last week, Luke was highly critical of your team. He said he didn't like your receivers and said they weren't, none of them were any good. And, of course, they all went off. You get a 3 TD day from Michael Crabtree. You get 2 from Emmanuel Sanders. Anything to say to your former roommate on your team now, just to kind of maybe rub it in his face?
Well, so let's just say I think Luke had a certain opinion based on the fact that I was, you know, not in town and couldn't really do anything to him. So, but I also think he may have been correct, and I just got a bunch of touchdowns. Luke tends to know these things better than most people, unfortunately. But, yeah, it definitely felt good. I was listening to last week's pod this morning, kind of prepping, and I was just writing down some notes of the things Luke got wrong, which is kind of a rarity, but it's, you know, it feels nice. Definitely felt good. I appreciated his honesty, but, you know, felt good to get that win last week.
Are you going to go over those the things Luke got wrong now, or are you going to save them for later?
Unfortunately, there weren't really enough to, like, make a segment out of it.
Damn. So. Okay. Well, that's still Luke, you got stuff wrong.
I even came up with a name, but there'll have to be a future pod.
Okay. We'll hold on to it then. When you're ready, let us know, and we will unveil a new segment.
Yeah.
We're going to move to the matchups. The third undefeated team in the league is my own team, JSIE Berries, taking on Andrew and his newly named Sergio Artichoke Dip. Not as strong as a name as Jess Cucumberland to me, but still a good timely pop culture reference.
Relevant.
Yeah, I'm pretty down on the FPS scale, scoring an 87.2. Andrew, a little bit lower at 82.7. The projections, however, disagree, as it's Andrew who's favored by a point. I'm on my third starting quarterback of the season, while Andrew has traded away a top wide receiver for some coverage in the W-word, R-words running backs. What are you seeing from my matchup here?
It took me legitimately 4 minutes to figure out Andrew's new teammate. I couldn't figure that out. Yeah, I mean, starting from the QB position, I don't mind Alex Smith, honestly. That offense is pretty good, and he's sort of, I mean, obviously so far he's been the number one QB, and that's probably not going to last for forever, but
no.
He's got a pretty solid base. You know, he's pretty much good for 200 yards, maybe a touchdown almost every week, and, you know, there are worse things in the world, in the fantasy world than that. You know, there's always that thing about Big Ben, where everyone says he plays worse on the road. I don't really know what to expect from this Bears team. They're terrible, for one. But I do kind of wonder if, you know, it's going to lend this game a bit more to Lev Bell than it will to Big Ben. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Roethlisberger this week. I don't mind your matchup, though. I think that KC Chargers game is going to be a bit more high scoring than this Bears Steelers game. So I don't mind you right there, but kind of moving down the line, Leonard Fournette in London thing. I don't know if there's anything about that. I don't know if people do worse in London, but I think that they do.
I just noticed he's playing in London, and now I'm like, my already not great running back situation seems a lot worse now.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out why you weren't starting James White, but, you know, didn't want to give you on-air advice.
No, I mean, no, please, like, please give me all the advice that you can. I mean, White had a huge week last week. I just don't know, and I'm not digging Jameson Crowder too much either, but
I'm also not
digging Mark Ingram too much, so I don't know. Last week, I almost convinced myself that, like, playing Adam Thielen without Matt Stafford was going to be fine. Like, he's still a wide receiver. He's going to get his catches. And I went, fuck are you thinking? Like, no, this needs to be this. Like, James White is going to get the ball a lot. And that paid off big for me.
For it's worth, Adam Thielen is still a wide receiver. So you were right. You're
that is true. Yeah.
Correct. But yeah, so I think Andrew's got a big advantage here in the running back. Frank Gore, somehow, I don't really. He's still around, which is amazing. He's still productive, and he's going against Cleveland, which is definitely not good. But outside of T.Y., he's probably their best offensive player right now, which is just, you know, really depressing.
Yeah.
So I think he can definitely get a touchdown and a bunch of yards against that Cleveland team. I think Lamar Miller against New England, I don't really know if that game script is going to go great for them, for him to get a bunch of touches. I could see New England sort of falling ahead pretty early on that one, and then we could have a lot of Deshaun Watson trying to feed the ball to Hopkins, and probably not going terribly well.
So, right.
I'm not really sure of your guys' four starting running backs. I'm not really sure which matchups I do like for them this week.
Yeah, I kind of feel like in the back of my mind, like the Ingram matchup is going to be better. I mean, he's definitely still like the number one there because they're not playing Peterson a whole lot, and Kamara seems to be more of like a passing down guy.
Absolutely.
I would like to see him get more than, you know, 8 carries a game or something like that, which, you know, would be nice. And Carolina's got a good defense, and hopefully, you know, their offense doesn't like pull away or something like that. And New Orleans is playing from behind for the third straight week. Fantasy wise, I mean, in real life, it would be fine because fuck the Saints. But fantasy,
that whole, like Atlanta New Orleans rivalry, I just didn't know existed until like the last 2 years. And it's truly interesting.
It's a strange one. Yeah, it's I don't know. It's hard for me to get a feel on it because like I'm so far away from it. But I do. Yeah. I very much dislike Carolina a lot more than I do New Orleans. But I don't know. That's just me.
Fine either way.
Yeah. I've got a quick fun fact here. I'm at the top of the leaderboard in points scored against. I'm in second place after 2 weeks. Scott, who is 0-2, is actually the number one team for points scored against. As I squeaked away with a win earlier in week one against Pip, and then last week against Mike as well. And that's thanks to the fact that my team has not scored a touchdown other than Leonard Fournette. So Cooks and Julio have a combined 14 receptions. Zach Ertz has been my fantasy rock somehow, but no one's gotten into the end zone other than Fournette, and I'm somehow 2-0. So
that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. So does this mean that I'm due for a loss? My team is actually bad based on their performance, or my team is due to go off because these guys who are good to decent should start getting touchdowns?
I mean, Julio and Brandon Cooks are good players,
right?
So they will score touchdowns. I like Julio against Detroit this week. I think that's going to be a high scoring game, and he's a beast. So I like it. I like your odds on that one, and I also think that Brandon Cooks is going to show off a bit against Houston. We're not really. That New England offense, he's got to figure every time they're going to score, 5 touchdowns. So it's kind of just luck of the draw as far as who gets them. But it'll happen eventually. I wouldn't worry too much about that. I think it's about time. But you know, you still have Adam Thielen as your third receiver, and that's not a great quarterback situation. But
yeah,
got to do what you got to do.
I'm hoping maybe Sam Bradford is okay to play. I don't think I'm going to start him over Smith just because I think the Chargers don't have that great of a passing defense. So I feel like Smith is my better bet at quarterback. But if Stafford can play and maybe still get Thielen the ball, I don't know. I could end up swapping him out with Crowder and playing James White again or something. But I don't know.
Sam Bradford's fine either way. What's that quote going on? He's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine. He's fine.
He's fine. He could play in 8 weeks or he could play next week, but he's okay.
He might never play football again. He's fine.
Limited at practice as of today. So I don't know what that means. I'm guessing they're probably going to sit him out, which means that I'm probably not going to want to play Thielen again. Which probably means, hey, James White, welcome back into the lineup.
James White, man. James White's good.
Yeah.
Over on Andrew's side.
Yeah.
Sorry, unless you kind of want
to. No, I was going to switch to the Sergi Artichoke.
Yeah. So I was watching the 12 minutes of football that I've watched this year. We're in some little tiny town in Utah, and we didn't have the sound on, but I saw that I saw Sergio's little cameo with like closed captioning on, and it was just really, really confusing. So that was nice. So that's the NFL in a nutshell for you. His team, I thought Jordy was like questionable earlier. Did I misread that, or what's going on with him?
I thought I saw a questionable next to him as well, because he did miss like the entire second half of the Atlanta game. But now I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, practiced in full today.
There you go. So he's okay.
Breaking news, man. So that definitely makes a big difference. I do feel like he, goes right back into that wide receiver one spot against the Cincinnati team that just has been really, really bad so far. Kind of worse than I feel like anyone expected. I think Jordy could do pretty well this week if he's healthy. I don't know what Kelvin Benjamin is. Like, is he good? Does anyone know?
Yeah, that was my question. Was going to be, what's the deal with Kelvin Benjamin? Because he and Cam have both struggled so far this year. Now, he had a bounce back week two from one reception for 25 yards to 6 for 77. Still hasn't gotten into the end zone. But I mean, New Orleans defense is so bad that you would think he could even improve off 6 receptions. But I still, like, there's something going on with Cam. There's something going on in that offense where it's just, it's not what it was 2 years ago. And I don't know if it's Cam, like, doesn't want to bounce back, or Benjamin is still super fat.
Yeah, yes, just correct. Cam still has that shoulder thing, right? Is that kind of what's going on? I don't know. But I feel like Benjamin could kind of show up a bit this week, you know, just because New Orleans is so, so bad. I feel like this would be a good game for that offense to sort of get back in rhythm. I think he's a really important part of it. He's always one of those players when you watch him, I don't understand how he's not, like, you know, poor man's Mike Evans.
Right.
He's just like, you throw a ball to him, and it's like, he could catch anything. But
it seems like against every DB, he's, like, going against, like, that guy could be, the DB could be 6'3", and Benjamin's, like, 9'5". And it's like, oh, exactly. Of course he was going to catch that ball.
Yeah, doesn't matter. Every time he catches the ball, I'm like, you should have caught that.
Right.
So. We'll see. I mean, I could see it going well for him. This is going to be, you know, about his best matchup so far by a long shot. So if he, you know, if he does well, Jordy does well, it could be a long road for you here, Rick.
Yeah, I'm hoping more that my team not scoring any touchdowns through 2 weeks is more of that my good players aren't scoring as opposed to this is where they're peaking kind of thing, just because the good ones haven't scored. So.
Yeah.
The matchups are just really interesting. I don't know. Like, Andrew's got favorable matchups, but I just still feel like his players aren't going to perform. Like, I don't know if Amendola is going to play. Benjamin could not show up. Jordy against Cincinnati's defense, like, he could just, Rodgers could decide not to throw to him other than, like, the one catch for 60 yards or whatever for a score. Which, 12 points, that's a huge day. But.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think my guys are going to – this is going to be the week that they actually go off, and I think I'm going to earn a win as opposed to squeaking away with a win.
You know, I love the optimism. That's huge. That's what you're here for. That's why we keep you around. I do – you know, I've kind of gone full 360 on Leonard Fournette since we started talking. Who knows, man? Maybe they get a little sloppy London weather, you know, a little Everton at Stoke type weather, you know?
Ugh.
And he gets like 2-3 scores. I mean, that Baltimore defense is pretty good. So
yeah,
wouldn't hold my breath. This is a home game for the Jags, though. So
that's true.
Think about that.
Yeah, that hometown for seeing the Jags like the sixth time in 6 years or whatever. Like,
say,
I'm sure the crowds
in London.
They're starting to really understand it. Get the know who the Jags are.
It's great for Bortles. So I'll have plenty of time to read Wikipedia pages on that flight.
Yeah, because he shouldn't watch film or anything.
Yeah, definitely not. You know what it could come down to in this matchup? Tyrell Williams as a flex is very interesting because I feel like there could be a lot of San Diego sort of coming from behind against this KC team. And, you know, you never really know who Phil Rivers roulette. You never know who the ball's going to end up with. But Tyrell's good. I guess who's what? Peters is KC's number one corner, so he'll probably be shadowing Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
So you might get Tyrell against some other guy who's probably still really good, but I guess we'll see. Man.
Isn't there there's a duck on that KC defense, right? Former duck.
Oh, there is.
I always get whichever duck that's in the NFL. All the defensive back ducks, I get them all confused.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure there's only one of them, and I just don't know who it is.
I'm Googling it right now.
Okay.
They still have Anthony Thomas, which is funny. Oh, yeah, Terrence Mitchell.
There we go.
I remember him.
Yeah, he's on that team. So
he's on my team.
Let's go Ducks.
Go Ducks. Yeah. All right. Should I make a pick for this one? You want me to do it?
Yeah, make your pick.
You're picking yourself, right?
I am, yeah.
I love that.
Thanks.
Great. I think I'm going to have to go with Andrew in this one. I don't love either of you guys' teams this week, but I just think that he has a much higher potential for scoring touchdowns. You know, you look at everyone on his team, and it's like Miller could get a touchdown, Gore could get one, Jordy, Kelvin, Amendola. It's like it could happen for all of them, and, you know, it could be the sit. I think I'm going to go with Andrew, but it's really close. You know, all three of the games that that I'm talking about, these two, the lines are all within 2 points.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that fun?
Great. That's wonderful.
Yeah, so it's going to be great. It'll just come down to, like, Matt Bryan missing an extra point, which will be fun.
Yeah, that could be the difference.
Could be the difference.
Yeah. Next up, it's a GIS super rivalry. Jared, Team Jared Cooks, taking on Pip, Doriel, Green Eggs, and Beckham. Pip gets this week's perfect 100 on the FPS, while Jared, a surprise 0-2 team, comes in at 85.4. Pip, who was worried he was going to lose at about 1 o'clock on Sunday, ends up running away with his matchup against Andrew and wins easily. Actually could have scored more points if he went with his full squad lineup and avoids a plaques of the week. While Jared might want to find the panic button 2 weeks in, living up to a curse that I gave him after I said his team looked like a title contender, what do you see in this matchup here?
You really went with the we got the old Rick podcast curse, huh?
Yeah.
I thought Jared's team after the draft was probably my favorite team that anyone had. So
I think a lot of people did.
Yeah, it's a bit surprising. That Jordan Howard thing really just sort of came out of nowhere. I always laugh because you think about, if you look back at any draft, like you look at our draft from last year, from the 2016 season, and you have people who are picked in the top 10 who are just bored worthless. Like I think last year Peterson was like the 6th overall pick.
Yeah.
And you always wonder who it's going to be going into this year. And I kind of had a thought it may have been Jordan Howard, but didn't see it happening this fast. For you guys' matchup, I think just as like a human being, I'm worried about Marcus against Seattle. Like, I just don't want him to like have a hard day in his life.
Right. Yeah.
I'm worried about this matchup for them. That's gonna be a really good game. I'm excited to watch it. But I'm surprised that they're favored too, which is interesting.
Yeah, but, I didn't. I thought that line like was wrong when I saw Tennessee like plus seven. I was like, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what to think about that.
Yeah, I do kind of feel like if Tennessee's going to win this game, I feel like they're going to do a lot of it on the ground. So I kind of can see a big game for DeMarco Murray if he plays, big game for Derrick Henry if he plays. I don't know if I would start Marcus this week against Seattle, but I guess he doesn't even have another quarterback, does he?
No.
Wow, that's confidence. Hey, good for him. Is Marcus one of those guys where, I can't remember if it was him or Jameis, one of those two guys plays much better against harder teams.
That sounds like a Marcus thing, but then again, I'm a Marcus guy, so I'm probably not going to side with Jameis.
I just made that up. but I guess you can compare that to Rodgers, who Pip has, and he's never going to have a bad game. So I definitely lean towards Pip as far as QBs, but Lev Bell against Chicago, he's kind of one of those players where if I was going to pick like one guy, if I was going to do like daily fantasy or something for this week, I'd probably spend a bunch of money on Lev Bell because he hasn't done so well this year, so he's probably a little undervalued in people's eyes. And, it's not that rare that he has 3 touchdown games, right? And, if it's going to happen against Chicago, if it happened to anyone, it'd probably happen against Chicago. So I think he could be a sort of – the cream might rise to the crop or might rise to the top for him this week. So I could definitely see a big week from him. I don't love Carlos Hyde. He's also one of those people who I swear it was like – Frank Gore's age, but he's only 26. So I never understood how that happened.
I don't remember him in college. Like, it's just like he's always been in the NFL.
He's always been on the Niners. I guess was he on Ohio State when Ohio State was bad? That's probably why.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Pip riding C.J. Anderson. This has been a big surprise for me, even as a Broncos fan, that he's looked so spry. There are a lot of people saying that he like decided to take football seriously this offseason, which like took you long enough. But if that's what's happening this year, and if this is the real C.J. Anderson, he looks really, really good. And that offensive line looks all right. They're missing their rookie left tackle this week, I think, though. So, Broncos insider. Against this Buffalo team, they haven't given up like a passing touchdown or something this year, so I think that defense might not be terrible. But CJ's been looking good. If that offense keeps rolling, which I don't know, I'm probably more skeptical than anyone, I could see it screeching to a halt anytime soon. But if not, I really like I kind of like Pip a lot in this matchup so far. Going down to his receivers, you've got Mike Evans, who against this Minnesota team, he's got a good defense, but Mike Evans he's just good. He's one of those guys who's just good at football.
Yep.
And so you just kind of watch him play, and it's like, well, he's better than most other people who are guarding him. So he's always up for a big game. I will say Jarvis Landry's really he's put up numbers so far.
He had 13 receptions last week.
Yeah.
What the hell is that all about?
Yeah, I don't. It's odd. You smoking Jay Cutler? Who would have guessed?
Man,
just off the couch at home, not even being in football shape.
He got 15 targets too.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And now he's going to get up against the Jets. I've got a quick mini segment for you. For real or for real, the name of a Jets starting corner, his name's Buster Skrine. Is that for real or for real?
I want to say for real, because I don't think you would have brought it up if you just like made up a fake name.
Isn't that an incredible name? Buster Skrine. They're not real players on the Jets defense. Outside of like their front four, they got Jamal Adams, but that team is just bad. They're just a bad team.
How do you spell his last name?
Skrine. Skrine.
I mean, if you had spelt out Skrine, what? Daryl Frank Buster Skrine Jr.
Oh, no way. That's his real name.
Unbelievable.
Frank. He was I love people with four names.
A fifth round pick by the Browns in 2011.
Somehow still in the league. Good for him, man.
Out of Chattanooga. But, wow. That's so many fun facts there.
It's a deep cut. Anyways, I don't think he's very good. So I think he's very good.
That's probably went from he downgraded from the Browns to the Jets.
Yeah, that's pretty hard to do, honestly. You kind of, it's like, you see all that Joe Thomas stuff this week where he had 10,000 consecutive snaps.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's really sad. poor guy, man, for the Browns. Anyways, so I think Jarvis could do pretty well, but I still kind of prefer Pitts receivers. I don't really love that San Francisco offense. Period. I especially don't love them on a Thursday night game. Like, no one does well in those games.
Nope.
So I don't expect much from Pierre. And then Randall Cobb, he's another one of those guys who were kind of in that Kelvin Benjamin thing where you're just like, are we sure he's good or does he just play with Aaron Rodgers? Because I never know with him.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think he's kind of being like overshadowed by Randall Cobb, or not Randall Cobb, because we're talking about Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson. Like, Jordy Nelson is also really good. Like, all of the Packers receivers are really good, and they're playing with Aaron Rodgers, so they're, like, very good. And then it's just like, Aaron's just like, I got 9 people to throw to, plus my running back's a former wide receiver, too, so, like, what are we going to do here? Like, I'm just going to throw the ball to 12 people 15 times or whatever. Like,
good point. Yeah. That's a good point. I don't know. I could definitely see. I mean, I kind of expect Jordy to have a bigger game than Cobb, but it's definitely just a lottery of those guys. So.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. I like Pippen throwing in Higgins. Higgins is fun. So, and that Indianapolis team is just really, truly terrible. So I kind of feel like Higgins could sort of go off. And what did Pitts spend on him? He spent like 20 something.
I think it was only like $5.
Yeah,
it was five.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah.
I have a whole thing about the waivers that we'll get to that later. But so I like that for Pitts. I think that's a good matchup to start in. Let me get back to the right screen. I was also interesting stuff about Hunter Henry because they had the Antonio Gates touchdown record went down last weekend, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So now it's just all Hunter Henry all the time, I'm guessing, for the Chargers. So and without Eric Berry on Kansas City. I like Hunter Henry a little bit this week. He's definitely juicy, but yeah, like it was. Tip of a lot of players in that game. That's funny.
Yeah, we've talked about that Kansas City game a lot so far.
Yeah, I more than anticipated. And you know, it is. What was it? There is a. I thought I heard somewhere that like the odds of Gronk playing all 16 games were like really, really poor. If you could have bet on it, and it just doesn't look like it's going to happen. You know, although he is also one of those guys who just has the red Q next to him pretty much 80% of the time.
Yeah.
So
I think
if he plays, that's obviously huge for Jared's team. His backup tight end is Kobe Fleener. That's
Kobe Fleener. Two TDs through two weeks, Kobe Fleener, though.
Oh, sure. All right. Well, I'll give you that one.
So.
I don't know.
But not a great fill-in option, especially when you got Gronk. So
yeah, and honestly, it's kind of it's insulting to me that Pitt plays Kareem Hunt as his flex. Like a running back one that he just has dangling there. I like Pitt's team this week. I like the Steelers against Chicago. A lot of Mike Glennon action for you. And then Justin Tucker, he's going to be kicking over in England. So, you know, he'll probably, everything counts There's a Premier League joke there somewhere that I just can't really.
Is it like all the kicks are only? I'm thinking like all the field goals are actually only worth one because they only play by one. Or they don't count because they went over the crossbar. Like you got to hit them like into the goal.
Either way, it doesn't bode well for Justin Tucker, but I think he'll actually probably have a good game.
Yeah, I got a couple questions. First off, you brought up Rashard Higgins, who Pitt paid $5 for against Kenny Britt, who's on Jared's bench. Who out of the two of them gets more of Kaiser's attentions? Because Higgins had 7 receptions last week after Corey Coleman broke his hand. Britt only has 2 on the season. Do you think a week of practice with Kaiser working with the two of them changes that? Or do you still like Higgins just because he's got the numbers so far early?
You know, let's see. I'm just doing this live on stage, reading a little ESPN thing here. 76% of the team snaps. That's pretty good. So I guess they just have him as the slot. So I guess Higgins will be in the slot and Britt will be on the outside.
That sounds about right.
Wide receiver situation is it's really just the content people are here for.
More Browns football, please. That's what everyone Browns. Says.
Just talking Browns. It's pretty much only going to be the two of them this week. I guess you wonder who – Indy's got that one decent quarter. Adams or whoever – what's his name? I can't remember. You wonder who he's going to be on. But I like Higgins. I think he's just kind of a more exciting player. I think Cleveland's just only gone – they're going to try and mold their offense towards the younger players, people they can kind of get more out of for the future. And I think Higgins kind of fits that role a little bit more than Kenny Britt.
Interesting. All right. Who's your pick in this
one? Opinion. I think I'm going to go with Pip. I think if you – outside of Left Bell, I think you look at, you know, the next 6 players. I feel like of the top 5 players, Pip has 4 of them going into this week, just kind of from my perspective. So I think after Lev Bell, I think Rodgers, Anderson, Evans, probably Carlos Hyde, probably Dez Bryant. I don't know. I just like the way his team's looking so far this year. I think it could go really well. I do think that it's he just has a lot of players who can win weeks, right? You've got Kareem Hunt, you've got Mike Evans, Dez Bryant. Although Dez Bryant going up against Patrick Peterson is not ideal for him. But, you know, Rodgers against Cincinnati, Rodgers is still really, really good. He could shoot for 4 touchdowns. I just kind of, you know, and I feel like Jared's got a bit more weak spots on his roster just kind of due to the Jordan Howard thing and just due to some other injuries. I don't love starting Samaje Perine, though I do think he might have my favorite name in NFL.
Yeah, I thought his name was Samaje P and then last name Ryan. So every time I hear it, I hear Samaje P. Ryan, or there's P. Ryan on the carry or whatever, and I wrote it out in my notes, Samaje P. Ryan.
P. Ryan.
P. Ryan, Chris Thompson, and then Shish Kabob Kelly. That's just like, it's not a good backfield to be a part of.
It's not, but a great named backfield. So.
Yeah, lots of good names
take,
there.
They'll take what they can get. I think I'm going to go with Pip. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm taking Pip as well. He's got the better running backs, and Rodgers, I think, is the better quarterback play in this matchup. Yeah. I'll talk more about Pip's wide receivers later, but I think his running backs are going to be the difference.
Beautiful. The last thing with Jared, would you start the Texans against New England? Because I don't know. Texans defense.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, they got lit up against Jacksonville, and then they had a good Thursday night showing. Maybe they're rested up. I don't know. It's like they do have a really good secondary. Like they've played New England tough before. I don't know. At New England, the Texans don't play well there. I mean, I can't think of. Look at the defenses available. If there's anything decent left.
Pitt has the Broncos defense on his bench.
Yeah, that's also another surprising one.
What a jerk.
Maybe the Rams defense against the Niners wouldn't be a bad pickup for Thursday night.
Yeah, on Thursday night.
Or even the Niners defense, because, I mean, well, no, probably not the Niners defense.
You mean the Oregon Ducks defense?
Yeah, sorry, the former Oregon Duck front line.
Oregon Ducks defense, yeah. So fun to watch.
Yeah.
Do I have any other notes on this one? No.
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered it all. Our last matchup that you'll be doing this week, I'm also dubbing it our matchup of the week. It's the only matchup between a pair of undefeated teams. Brandon, your team TCBY Hilton against Jordan Cooper Cup of Noodles. Jordan starting out with a strong 95.8 Fantasy Pro number, while Brandon, you're coming in at 85.4. Both of you guys are riding the play a quarterback against the worst defense in the league card, with Cutler and Cam being the starters in this one. Do you like Jay Cutlery? Is he a good play this week?
I have a long relationship with Jay Cutlery. I feel like he was on the Broncos like ages ago, which is funny now. But I really think he's looked good, man. He can connect on a few deep bombs to either to Devontae or to we were just talking about him. Their other receiver,
Landry.
You can connect on a few of those. He's got that big arm, and I just think that Jets defense is just really, really, truly bad. But no matter how good Jay Cutler's matchup is, nothing's better than Cam Newton against New Orleans. Like, I'm pretty sure anyone in this league could probably play quarterback next week and throw a touchdown against New Orleans.
Probably.
It's frightening. Yeah, I think Cam Newton could kind of – I mean, it'll depend on his, semi-injured shoulder. We'll see how accurate he is coming out. But, it does seem like one of those games where it's going to be like Cam when he was back in college, where he was just the most athletic player on the field. And I feel like he's going to run and throw around everyone.
Yeah.
So, I don't – not off to a good start for old TCBY over here. Going down, I do think I like Devontae against Detroit. I think that's going to be a pretty high-scoring game, although that Detroit defense did well against the Giants this last week. But I just think the Giants might be really bad. I'm not really sure if Detroit has a defense that can stop that potent Atlanta Falcons offense.
Woo!
Melvin Gordon against Kansas City. I just don't think Melvin Gordon's actually good. Like, I'm really happy he's not on my team this year. He was stressful to have last year. He's averaging, like, less than 3 yards a carry, which just isn't good for a running back. He'll probably still get a bunch of touches and stuff, and I don't know if there's anyone else in that Chargers backfield who will come close to taking his job from him, but I just don't know if he's an explosive running back who can make plays. And that Kansas City defense, they've looked good. They've got a strong front seven. So I could see this sort of being a game where Phil Rivers throws a bunch of – man, we're talking about that game again. It's funny.
Can't stop, won't stop.
I can't stop, won't stop. I'll touch on Mike Gillisley in the catching field segment of the podcast later.
Mm.
So we'll just gloss over him for now. Dalvin Cook is just fun to watch. I think that was one of the better draft picks for Jordan. I had like weird draft envy of Jordan's team because we were right next to each other, and his team just good looking team on paper, to say the least.
Yeah, so, I mean, when AJ Green fell to him, like, I think that was the most surprising thing ever.
Who did that? That's so weird.
Jeez, who would pass on him?
Who would pass on AJ Green? I thought Luke was gonna have a heart attack. It was very worrying.
I think if he actually ended up falling to Luke and Luke had to choose between like Zeke or AJ Green, I don't know what he would have done.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'm gonna have to talk to Jordan. Maybe we can do like a winner takes AJ Green thing from this matchup.
Yeah,
high stakes he wants to get. the Andrew Luck thing is just. I mean, you fell in the same trap though. You drafted Luck over Matt Ryan.
So. I didn't know he was hurt. Like, that's the thing. It's like the entire
They were so quiet about that.
All of, like, every mock draft they did, like, Andrew Luck would pop up, and there was, like, nothing next to his name, no worries, no, like, talk about any injuries or whatever. And I pick him, and I think Jared was, like, next to me, and he goes, doesn't he have a shoulder problem? Like, isn't he injured?
Yeah.
And I just went, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Like, well, I guess so.
Wonderful. Awesome.
I blame him for that. So, not even my fault. I do think T.Y., if Andrew Luck's healthy, I do like T.Y. going forward, but AJ Green's just a monster. That offense has been really bad, but they got a new offensive coordinator this week or something, I think. So
right.
I could kind of see it as a new offensive coordinator, let's give the ball to our best player, and AJ Green could just have 20 targets this week. So I'm a little worried about that.
Yeah.
To say the least. Crabtree, though, if he scores 3 touchdowns every week, I think I'll pull a JoJo and just go undefeated. So I guess I've got that going for me. But that was sensational last week. He is just so good in the red zone. It's fun to watch. Just watching like the highlights when I got back, he's better. He just wins at the at the point of contact or whatever you want to call it.
He points the ball, whatever.
Yeah, he high points it so well, which is cool to see. So I don't – and that Washington Raiders game has the highest over-under of the week. So I think that'll be another high-scoring game. I could see – you know, obviously Crabtree's not going to get three touchdowns every week, but I'd be – you know, more surprised if he got zero touchdowns than if he got one. So,
right.
I like that. Keenan Allen, we kind of touched on earlier with the with Tyrell Williams. There's something about that Phil Rivers offense where it's just kind of, you know, pick your poison. I do think that Keenan's really good. He's looked really good this year. That knee is totally fine. He's just a remarkably talented player. So I'm worried that he could go off this week as well. And I guess I think the only receiver that I have that I like more than Jordan's is probably Sanders over Devontae. Devontae Adams is if Randall Cobb is kind of good but also plays with Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams is not good and plays with Aaron Rodgers.
Yes,
hot take maybe, but he did. He did okay. God, he was targeted 10 times last week. Jeez Louise, man.
That's the thing, is Rodgers, he'll throw to the guy, like, if you're playing against a Packer receiver, like, that's the guy Rodgers is throwing to, and if you've got a Packers receiver, that's the guy Rodgers is not throwing to, like, that week.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, because Martellus Bennett had the most targets last week for the Packers, and, but there's, you know, just due to the laws of fantasy, I find it very unlikely that happens again. I'm really talking myself out of my team right now. This is very fun.
Oh no, I do this every week. I look at my matchup and I go, oh, I'm ruined. Like, God, I'm done this week.
Terrible. but I do. I'm kind of like fingers crossed that Eifert ends up not playing. But you know, we'll see. I actually really like Martellus Bennett. I thought I got him. I got him really late in the draft, and I really like him as a tight end. I think he's just a talented player. And people always talk about how Rodgers doesn't beat his tight ends very much, but I think Bennett's probably the best tight end he's ever had on his team. So I think he just, you know, good players like good players, probably. It's probably something that someone said once upon a time. I will say I'm really excited for McCaffrey this week. I think he, you know, it's that same Saints game. I think he could do really, really well. The same way that James White and Burkhead went off last week against the Saints. I think I heard it down somewhere. Yeah, the Saints defense has given up the most catches and yards to the running back position this year. So
nice.
I'm kind of just like fingers crossed on this one. I really just feel like if the Panthers use McCaffrey the way that anyone would use McCaffrey in Madden, then he would have like 200 yards and three touchdowns. I'm just worried they're not going to do that. He's just such an explosive athlete, and you know, long live Jace too and all, but McCaffrey is just faster.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they kind of come to that realization this week against the terrible New Orleans defense. But, you know, you never know. Stephon Diggs is really good. I guess, who is it on Tampa? They've got Grimes on Tampa from Hard Knocks. So he'll probably – but, you know, same as your situation with Feline. It's like you – I honestly don't – who is – oh, wait, no. It's Case Keenum for them, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yikes.
Yeah, that's what I almost did. I was like, oh, you know, Keenum's not too bad. Like, he can still, you know, get the ball out or something. And then I was just like, no. I can't take that risk. I don't want to come on here and defend my reasoning for playing Thielen when Sam Bradford's out. I gotta take the upside with White.
Man, it really, really says a lot about the NFL that we're talking Keenum versus Bradford. It's really sad. But I guess we're in the same NFL where Trevor Siemian is like a big deal, which I still can't believe with my own eyes. I think as far as defenses go, JoJo's kind of going with that anti-Case Keenum life, picking up the Bucs defense to play against Minnesota. That's probably a smart call on him. I'm kind of just hoping the Pats D does okay. I think that Houston offense is just not good.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping they kind of turn it around, and then I'm really banking on the Greg the Leg sloppy Thursday night game gets like six field goals. That'd be huge for me.
Six field goals are like nine extra points, one of the two.
Yeah, one of the two. I will say, though, you were talking earlier about fantasy points against. My team has the lowest fantasy points against so far, so I'm obviously doing something right. My offensive players are playing really good defense on the other team's offensive players.
Interesting.
What's happening.
You're coaching up the defense then.
Exactly, yeah. I'm a defensive specialist, so I'm fingers crossed see if that happens again this week. But if we're going to make picks, unfortunately, I'm probably going to go with Jordan's team. I just think it's just me talking it out while we're on the pod here, but I just like a lot of his players, and they've all got nice matchups. Like, can you name a single player on his team that has a bad matchup? I don't think you can.
Not really. No.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. He's got a lot of guys in that Clippers Chiefs game.
Yeah.
But like.
Yeah.
But like that's kind of it. Like, I mean, if Cincinnati is smart and they use AJ kind of how the Falcons used Julio last week against Green Bay's defense, like he can have a big game. Keenan is going to get tons of targets. Maybe Devontae, but only because he's Devontae Adams, not because it's Cincinnati's defense or something.
Yeah, that's true.
But no, I really like Jordan's wide receivers. Just like to be able to have Stephon Diggs as your flex or even Devontae Adams as your flex, like you've got three number ones there. Not to mention, you've also got Melvin Gordon and Dalvin Cook. Like, I don't understand how we let Jordan's team get so good. I'm just
and Derrick Henry too.
Yeah. He's bound to. I thought last year maybe he would be the guy in Tennessee, but it turns out it's this year.
Yeah, he's just good. Gosh, I hope Jordan enjoys this. That's just talking up the team for the last 10 minutes.
He's hyping himself up after he called. I think he called an undefeated season again last week, so maybe this will send him into a spiral.
I was laughing at that. I can't believe he didn't know that Phil Collins did all the Tarzan songs. Dude, I was so with you on that whole thing. I remember that same intro video.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, Jordan's just wrong. I guess if you grow up in the jungle, you probably don't grow up watching movies about the jungle. So
yeah.
That explains it.
It's like that How I Met Your Mother line. Like, the only people who haven't seen Star Wars are the people who are in Star Wars because they lived the Star Wars.
You know, I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah. Thank you. We're done with the matchups there. Let's go to segments.
You didn't make your pick.
Oh, sorry. I thought I hinted at it. I like Jordan this week. He's got a lot of really good wide receivers.
Yeah, he really does.
I do like the running backs, though, in this matchup are really good. I think they're the four best that we're going to see this week.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I kind of feel that same way about our receivers, too. Especially if Luck was healthy, then I think we might have like the best receiver matchup. Although I guess I haven't looked at the other side, but just looking at those six names, like those are all guys who could score 20 points.
Yeah. This is going to be, it's going to be a really fun one for sure.
They're high scoring one. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Now we'll go to segments. I'll let you start. Where do you want to begin with this?
I'll do JoJo of the Week. It's kind of broad though.
Okay.
So my JoJo of the week is to our waiver wire.
Now the JoJo of the week. Way to go, loser.
Okay.
Went in before the drop.
Yeah, well, hold on. Let's try that again.
Gotcha.
Now the JoJo of the week. Way to go, loser.
So my JoJo of the week is for the semi-product waiver wire. Because just some of the things that happened, I'm kind of just flabbergasted. Like, can we talk about the fact that we're in a world where Dak Prescott got dropped for Trevor Siemian? Like, that really does not make any sense. Like, Duncan, man, we got to talk about this. Dak Prescott is 100% owned. Every single league he is owned, except for ours now. So, I don't know. I'm flabbergasted by that. Even as the biggest Trevor Siemian fan of all time, I cannot understand how you dropped Dak Prescott. I thought that was silly. Yeah, that was pretty good. Brandon Coleman for $14. We'll see. We'll see about that one. And then that Chris Johnson, that's a lot of money, I guess. You know, I didn't know that the $23 that you spent on Chris Johnson also comes in a time machine to bring back CJ2K, which is pretty exciting. But, you know, I just think the thing that made David Johnson so good was the fact that he was David Johnson. And that offense isn't great. Their offensive line is nothing special. He was just a tank. And so I don't really know if Chris Johnson is going to be that good. The rest of them weren't terrible. But Jesse James, I don't know. He's not. He's just bad. But anyways, that was my JoJo of the Week. It was mostly just to make fun of Duncan for dropping Dak Prescott, which I like. I know there's like a – I thought – that there was like a people you can't drop. I would have figured Dak Prescott would have been kind of similar to that. But
No, I think once that changes is like depending on how good they like. I think your first two picks or something like that are automatically locked. Like you can't drop those guys. And then if somebody just like becomes a stud, like they're added to the list because I don't know. You don't want somebody weird ending up with them or whatever.
Yeah, but that was funny. Well, I mean, I guess we'll see what happens. You know, maybe I'm just maybe I'm wrong and Trevor Siemian's the next Aaron Rodgers, but it seems unlikely.
Yeah, I think Andrew going $14 on Brandon Coleman is really interesting, especially dropping Donta Foreman as well.
Yeah, when I first read that waiver thing, because I always get confused by the way the waivers work, but I thought he paid $14 for Donta Foreman, and I was like, oh, that seems like a lot, but might make sense because doesn't he have Lamar Miller too?
I think yeah, he did have.
Lamar, yeah, he does. Yeah.
So he's dropping his handcuff.
Dropped his handcuff to get like a not that good receiver. I don't know if I love it. But and Willie Sneed's gonna be back like next week. I got a lot of questions here.
Yeah, no, that's very fair.
Yeah. So, do you want to do a segment?
Yeah, I've got one. It's a rock of the week.
Perfect.
Rock of the week.
This one is to Pip getting mad at his receivers for not scoring any points. We kind of talked about it. Like Pip gets mad about everything when his team, it's like 10:30 in the morning and he doesn't have 400 points. Like he's angry and he wants to quit fantasy. He's got his top two receivers, Evans and Dez Bryant, are going up against Minnesota and Arizona. They both have very strong defenses, especially in the secondary. And with Pip having to watch the Monday night game and watch Dez Bryant probably not score points, I'm setting the over under at 3.5 for times that Pip actually says he wants to kill himself. Because I don't think he's going to get the production that he wants out of those guys. I mean, Evans, I think he's going to get a lot of targets, and I think Jameis might get dumb with the ball and probably force it in there a couple times and throw a couple picks, which...
I had that same note. I can see this being a bad Jameis week.
Yeah, so I don't know. Those are really tough matchups, and I don't know if Pip is going to actually come to terms with the fact that it is a tough matchup or if he's going to just assume that his number one guys should get the ball every pass play or something. Or when Dez like gets targeted on one play on like an end goal situation and drops it and the next one goes to Zeke up the middle for a score. He's going to call for his own death. I'm going to say, 3.5 is the over-under by Monday night. I think I'm going to take the over there, but that's my rock of the week.
Yeah, when you started saying three, I thought it was gonna be over under 3.5 racist things that Pip says. So I'm kind of glad you went with the other option there.
Pip has been big on suicide. He's a big suicide guy. He's called for his death after the week one loss, and then last week when he was losing like in the afternoon to Andrew. So I'm sure it's gonna happen again. I just think it's gonna happen more this week than normal.
Kid. We should in the podcast description we should include that suicide hotline number, you know, just in case might help.
Just everybody at some point on Sunday, if you could text Pip the suicide hotline number, it will either drive him crazy or maybe he thinks it's funny and he actually needs it. I don't know.
I hope it goes well. That's a good one though. That Dez Bryant against Pat Peterson matchup, Dez scored that one against the Broncos, but that was like a perfect pass, and Tlaib had him perfectly covered. So, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
All right. I'll run through catching fields real quick. Mike Gillisley. So, I work with one of my buddies who I work with is a big Pats fan, so I don't like him as a person, but he was telling me that people are making a bunch of jokes about Mike Gillisley and Giselle and how it's really like Mike Giselle bunches. So,
oh, interesting. Okay.
So I think I'm catching feels for Mike Gillisley because he's also Giselle bunches.
Oh, plot twist.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of this weird thing. It's not only the fact that he scored 3 touchdowns in week one, but also the fact that he is maybe also a supermodel.
Huh.
So keep that in mind. And then my other catching feels, another player on my team, how weird, who also scored 3 touchdowns in 1 week. That's so strange. Anyway, I did a little research here. So Michael Crabtree, Crab being in the name, just take a guess at when the best season for king crab hunting is. Just take a guess. Best month.
November.
It's actually October.
Ooh, okay.
I think we haven't even gotten started with Crabtree this year. I think next month it's going to be four touchdowns a week. So, you know, it's just nature, right? It's, you know, we've learned anything over the last few weeks, storms and stuff. Nature's back. Who's back of the week? Nature. And so I think Crabtree in October is going to be huge. I've never gotten more trade requests for one player than I did for Crabtree in this last week, which is pretty funny.
Interesting. Yeah, I had been looking at Crabtree as like a wide receiver three, so I was a little bummed when you took him just because, I don't know. I mean, I was kind of like that was one of my target guys, so I definitely understand how he's a good player and is wanted by other teams. So
yeah, I have the field. So
there you go.
All it takes for me is three touchdowns, and then he'll be my guy.
My next one, I've got a yeah dude here.
Yeah, dude.
it's to Jarvis Landry. He had 13 receptions. Like, yeah, dude. Yeah, like yeah, Jay dude. Cutler, you're just gonna keep throwing him the ball? Come on, yeah, man. Dude. And at the same time, kind of a what are the chances? Jordan hand signs insert here. What are the chances he keeps this up? Like, it is the Jets defense. Like, that's why you said you picked up Jay Cutlery. What do you think that his production is gonna be like this week?
What are the chances? Man, it's tough for me with that Jets team where we just don't. None of those players are good. You know, people were expecting good things of that Miami offense when Tannehill was there. I don't know if Cutler is better than Tannehill, but I don't know if he's much worse. I remember watching Cutler with like old Josh McDaniels Broncos offense. I think he put up like 4,800 yards and like 30 touchdowns one year or something crazy like that. When that guy has time, when he's running a good offense, he can make plays and he can make the right passes. So I think that's going to happen again this week. And Jarvis gets that's so many targets, though. I don't know. What would you put the over-under at for Jarvis Landry targets this week? It's got to be like 9? That's crazy.
That's, yeah, I would still take the over, too.
Yeah, like, I think I would, too. That hurts. That hurts me.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's good for you, but... Yeah, dude. Like, yeah. I don't understand how he can keep that, how he can keep that up. Are you any more segments for you?
I got one. Actually, I have two more if we have time. So my first one thing you guys probably don't know about me, but when I went to DU, I was actually an analytics major. So fancy pants over here.
Wow.
So my own segment, create your own segment, is the anal ISIS analysis fact of the day. we were talking. I've heard on the pod over the last few weeks. You got a lot of talk about home versus away, right?
Yeah,
you know, whether you want to play
yeah.
home or away. So I did a little analysis and figured out that. So this is kind of crazy. Every year since 2006, home teams have averaged more passing yards, more passing touchdowns, and higher yards per attempt and lower interception rates. Every single year across the league, the home team, you take the sum of all the home stats and compare them to the sum of all the away stats.
Right.
And every year since 2006, teams have had more passing yards, more passing touchdowns, higher yards per attempt, and lower interception rates. And they've also had more rushing touchdowns, better yards per attempt on the ground.
Huh. So there is something to Mike's wonky theory that playing on the road is like it could hurt you.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's of course in our weekly fantasy, it's kind of like, you know, every week it could be, it's totally random, but in the grand scheme of things, it looks like being at home is better for your overall production, so take that for what it's worth.
Huh. So that's interesting.
That's very... the analysis fancy boy stats of the day.
Great. That's a good fun fact there. I'm glad we have a new name for fun facts, analysis. Should we get to trades now, or do you have one more segment?
Let's do trades. All right, my last segment was just some random prop bets, which are kind of funny, but they're not that great.
Okay. So don't trade me, bro, where we talk about trades.
Don't trade
me, bro. Don't
trade.
So our trade this week was between Fronik and Andrew, teams Street Taco Charlton and Sergio the Jerk Dip. Andrew's dip team trades away Golden Tate to Fronik for Sammy Watkins and Chris Thompson, while Carson Palmer hits the waiver wire. We got Phronix's response earlier today, his thoughts on the trade. So let's go ahead and hear that now.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to break down the trade. Felt pretty comfortable drafting for a wide receiver 3 in Golden Tate. He was a 32nd overall pick, and I traded my 52nd overall pick and Chris Thompson, who was a late-round flyer for me. I think he has excelled in his, you know, third down back kind of position, but he's not going to be a feature down back. He's just going to basically be a flex this whole year. And Watkins is going to be a boom or bust play, I think, every week. But going forward, if you look at his schedule, I didn't really like his schedule from weeks 5 to, you know, basically to the end of the season, just because he's got, you know, he's got the excuse me, he's got the Rams and the Cowboys next. But after that, he's got Seattle twice. He's got Arizona twice. He's got Jacksonville's defense, which is actually very solid. Then he's got Minnesota, Houston. You know, he's just got a very tough slate against cornerbacks going forward. And that was just left me in an uncomfortable situation, especially with my wide receivers, you know, not being that great with, you know, Jordan Matthews and Buffalo and Kendall Wright. So I felt like I really needed a trade for the, you know, wide receiver 3, like Golden Tate or something like that. So I feel really good coming off this trade. And I think that we both agreed, me and Andrew, thought it was actually pretty fair. He gets a little bit more depth. He gets a running back. And I get a very solid wide receiver. So I feel really good. I think my starting lineup's going to be good. My depth takes a hit a bit, but I wasn't too confident in Chris Thompson anyway. I think he's had a good first couple weeks, but, you know, I think going forward, I think that's going to be about it for him.
So that was Phronix's response to the trade. His wide receivers are now Doug Baldwin, Larry Fitzgerald, Golden Tate, and then on the bench, his wide Jordan Matthews and Sterling Shepard. What did you think of this trade? What do you think of what Phronix had to say here?
That's you know, his analysis is kind of pretty much the same. His analysis is pretty much the same as mine. I think he gave up two players who don't have very high of ceiling. You know, I love Sammy Watkins. I think he's really talented. I just, you know, as he mentioned, his schedule is really, really brutal. It is the little fun fact about Sammy, though, that he's caught every pass that's been thrown to him so far this year, which is just, like, very impressive. I do think the talent's there. I just, that Rams offense isn't good. They're playing against a bunch of tough defenses because, honestly, even San Francisco's defense in that division is pretty good.
Yeah.
So they got some tough matchups. And then Chris Thompson, he had like 3 carries last – or 3 receptions or something last week, but turned 2 of them into scores.
3 carries for 77 yards and 2 touchdowns, and then 3 receptions for 29 yards.
Yeah.
Like, so he's like the DeAnthony Thomas of the R-word offense.
Exactly. Like, that's, you know, I mean – obviously he's talented, but it's kind of it's tough to, I don't know, I feel like Andrew bought Chris Thompson right after he had his biggest week. And, you know, there's a chance that he won't have as big a week ever, you know, again this year. So,
yeah.
I probably prefer Phronix's end. I think Golden Tate kind of has gotten off to a slow start, but that Detroit offense is solid. Golden Tate, you know, he can score touchdowns every week. He's good for 8 or so receptions almost every week too. So I'd say it was pretty even. I would prefer to be on Phronix's end of the trade, but I kind of like the way that Andrew, you know, you're kind of swinging for the fences of a trade like this, right?
Yeah.
So Sammy Watkins is Sammy Watkins. If that Rams offense is decent, if they actually start throwing him the ball, then obviously he's a really talented player. And then, you know, Chris Thompson, I mean, it seems unlikely he'll get those touches, but if their running back situation keeps getting worse and worse, if that R. Kelly injury gets worse, if P. Ryan's actually not that good, then all of a sudden you have, you know, a guy who's really clearly talented and might be a starter. So I kind of like it for both teams, but I would say I prefer to be on Phronix's end of the thing.
Yeah, Andrew has revamped his bench. He's added Zach Miller, Brandon Coleman, Sammy Watkins, and Chris Thompson all for trade. The only guys that are still on there that he drafted are Kelly Ginn Jr. and Gio Bernard. So he's definitely flipped his roster. And yeah, I mean, he's got now some upside guys. I don't know what looking at Fronik's team, like, I feel like Baldwin, Fitzgerald, and Tate are all guys who get big targets, like high volume of targets, but not always like crazy high number of receptions and like points for some, like, I don't know. It's weird that like they're getting the ball thrown to them, but they're not always like making a, like producing out of it kind of thing. Like they're volume heavy, but then like still touchdown reliant kind of like scoring guys. So, and Fitzgerald getting pretty old. So like, who knows how long he can stick up. I mean, only 21 yards last week is not great. So,
hearing Fronik talk about those as his top three receivers, I was like trying to figure out how that happened. Like, I thought he like had some other receiver who got injured or something, but I guess that's just who we have. That's a tough team to look at.
It's an interesting one for sure.
I'm curious to hear Andrew's thought process on the whole thing. So I guess I'll have to stay tuned.
Yeah, we will hear more about what Andrew has to say when we talk to Scott with the other half of our matchup. So thank you for coming on the pod, Brandon, and discussing the matchups this week.
Anytime, Rick. Appreciate you.
Kicking off the second half of this week's pod, it's our resident zoologist, lover of all things pets, and hater of flavor. It's Scott, team name now named the Cleveland Hash Browns. Welcome to the podcast, Scott.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me. I don't have any zoo facts for you right now. I'm actually at zero animals capacity right now. All my animals are gone. But
I don't believe you.
No, really, no animals. We went to go see the cats last night. That was good. I'm sure you guys all got some snaps of that.
Really, no animals? I actually don't believe you.
No animals. No animals in the building. Wow. No animals at all.
Wow. Also, a side note, if no one has seen the Bangarang music video, it is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. It's like...
Yeah, it's like a bunch of like kids running around, right?
Yeah, they like rob an ice cream truck, and then they turn into actual robbers when they're adults. It's...
Yeah, they're the Lost Boys, dude. Shout out to all my Lost Boys.
Is that what that means? Okay. Maybe.
Your guess is as good as mine, Rick.
All right.
Should I say Skrillex? All right.
Skrill guess? Let's get to fantasy football now. You took a lot of heat last week getting one of the two, or 2 weeks ago, getting one of the two full Falcon Awards in last week's episode. And within hours of that pod being posted, you asked to be the guest this week. What do you have to say about what happened in week one? And then Luke, who came on last week, and he kind of bashed you, and now your team's at an 0-2 start.
Hey, man, you bashed me too, but it's all right.
I did a little bit. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I'm hurting right now. I mean, I'm hurting because I'm 0-2. I'm also hurting because of what you guys said about me. I mean, all things considered, it was kind of warranted. I made some dumb mistakes the past 2 weeks. That whole waiver wire fiasco wasn't real good. I kind of overcommitted. I thought my dumb brain was a little bit drunk on the Sunday that David Johnson got hurt, and I thought, oh, I gotta pay top dollar for Andre Ellington because that's what Jordan did last year. And I just decided to pay way too much for him. I hear you guys, the haters. I hear you, haters. Welcome, come to Miami, okay? But I think I'm going to bounce back this week. I've been busy. Really, I got some good waiver wires guys last week besides Ellington and all that. I got Rex, Sexy Rexy, and also Cameron Brate, who's going to be a breakout star, I think.
Ooh, Bameron Crate.
Bameron Crate, yeah. So I definitely I'll hit on a segment right now, actually. I kind of Plaxico'd myself with that whole situation. By paying, I don't know, it was like $45 for two.
You got basically backup,
two backup running backs and the kicker.
Why'd you spend so much money on the kicker?
I don't know. There's really no excuse for that. I somehow thought that everyone was trying to sabotage me. So, and I just paid top dollar for it. But I do have one thing to say to you. I have a quote from you, sir. I don't know if you remember saying this, but you said that I was referring to Shroot Bucks, a.k.a. waiver wire money. I was throwing it around like it means nothing. So I have a question for you. What is the monetary value of the Shroot Bucks on the waiver wire money? Is there any monetary value to it?
Like, not actually. I mean, if you end the season...
So it does mean nothing.
Basically, yeah. I mean, if you end the season with your, like, full balance, like, it doesn't carry over to the next season or anything.
Yeah.
Or you don't, like, win that money back in league earnings or whatever.
I'm just joshing with you.
Okay.
My whole thing was, I feel like my season is pretty much over.
Yeah, dude.
About David Johnson. And it doesn't matter who I pick up. There's nobody I'm going to pick up that's going to make up for David Johnson. So I might as well just spend it like it is nothing.
Well, all right. Well, good to get into the somewhat depressing mind of Scott there on the waiver wire. Pick up. It'll be okay.
It's not good over here.
It's because you don't have any animals.
No animals.
There you go. Let's get to our matchups then. We're beginning with Nick, Team Street Taco Charlton, taking on Duncan Double Decker Fries. These two come in at an almost equal 89.2 and 88.4 respectively on the FP scale. Duncan is coming off an impressive win, while Nick came off a week too low scoring, just getting into the 70s. Fronik now has a chance to use his newly acquired wide receiver, Golden Corral Tate, and his projected favorite coming into this matchup. We're going to talk all about the trade later, but what kind of impact does the trade have on the matchup with Duncan?
Well, I think, I still like Duncan in this one, but Fronik definitely got a good wide receiver out of it. That was actually going to be a segment I was going to touch on. It's going to be a reverse don't trade me, bro. Or actually, don't trade me, bro, to Andrew, because I don't know why he gave up Golden Tate for I don't even remember who the other two were, but so they must not be good, right? If I didn't even know him.
I know, Chris Thompson. I've looked at the trade like seven times, and I keep forgetting. I know Chris Thompson was one of the running backs involved. And Sammy Watkins. So, he got Sammy Watkins as well.
That's right, Slammy. Yeah, so I think – good on you, mate, for Fronik. He dealt Chris while he was hot. I mean, last week he had 77 yards on 3 rushes, which I don't think is necessarily sustainable. And Tate is pretty decent wide receiver with Matty Stafford throwing him the ball. But once again, I think they both have pretty equal odds. I like Duncan a little bit more. But wide receiver-wise, they both look good.
See, I think the opposite. I think Fronik's got, I don't know, like Doug Baldwin is an interesting receiver. He's got 10 receptions on the year for like 100 yards about, which is like okay, but no touchdowns because Seattle, I mean, they've only got the one on the season. Fitzgerald is pretty old. He's only got 9 receptions on the year.
Hey.
Different Fitzgerald, you know. That Fitzgerald is old, not you, Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
I don't know. Fitz is just like, he's pretty old. Carson Palmer's pretty old. Like, I think he's upgraded really his wide receiver two to run with Baldwin and Tate as opposed to Baldwin, Fitz, and Tate, and Tate being third. But he doesn't, I mean, his depth after, I mean, if you call Tate his two and Fitzgerald his three, I mean, his other wide receivers, he's only got two, or he's got three, Jordan Matthews, Sterling Shepard, who's absolute poop, and Kendall Wright. So,
yeah.
I mean, he added some.
I'm not big on his depth.
No. That's one of the things he talked about is now that he has better depth, but I'm not really buying it. He certainly has the depth at running back to make up for it, but I think
he's more average players now.
Yeah, I would agree.
I wouldn't say his depth got worse.
Worse.
I don't think it got any better.
So you think having Chris Thompson and Sammy Watkins is better than Golden Tate for Fronik? You shouldn't have made the trade?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't think his depth got any better, but I don't think it got any worse.
Okay, yeah. And then looking at Duncan's team, Marshawn, like, he got his touchdown last week, and that was all cool, and he was dancing on the sidelines and whatever, but
It was a good time.
Yeah, Washington let up a lot of points last week to running backs to the Rams with Todd Gurley. Terrence West is questionable, but I think in the Oakland game, I think it's going to be a lot of pass-happy football. I don't think Lynch is going to get a ton of carries. Brown's going to get his against Chicago. Deshaun, I think, gets shut down against Minnesota. And then J.J. Nelson, I think it's going to be interesting to see what he does in a third week. He's got back-to-back weeks with touchdowns and five receptions. 120 yards last week, too. Wow, that's very impressive. That's a hell of a pickup there from Duncan. Classic Duncan pickup, too.
Yeah, Duncan's going to make those moves. He knows what to do. If there's anything I learned from last year. I like Marshawn and Brady, obviously. And that's basically why I'm taking Duncan in this. Although Fronik has my Jags boys, who they could have won me the game against Jordan if I had thought about playing the kicker. And, I like Duncan. I think that Fronik has a lot of players that, like, you always hope are going to do well. I mean, that's most players, I guess. Isaiah Crowell, I don't like that at RB2. He's a guy that Luke's going to sell you big on, that he's going to do well, but then he's going to, I mean, average 6.7 or less, and he's Cleveland hash brown, so you never know.
Yeah.
And, that's all I have.
Yeah. I also like Duncan. I think Brown, Nelson, and Brady carry him to a win. Real quick, though, Duncan spent $5 on Trevor Siemian to pick up a 23% owned quarterback.
What?
He dropped Dak Prescott, who was 100% owned. So now he's like 99.9% owned or whatever. Tom Brady doesn't have
Duncan shifted a whole 0.1%.
I think so. I mean, it's not a full 100%, so it can't be, right?
Fair enough.
Tom Brady doesn't have a bye until week 9. In Siemian week 9 in the Broncos, they take on Philly on the road. What I thought maybe it was a sneaky, like, look-ahead ad kind of thing where he's planning ahead, like, take on the Jets or something like that, and it's an easy week. Like, let's get him while it's still or before anybody thinks about it or whatever. What do you think about that move?
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't pick him up, but I don't have a lot to say about that move.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you think about it?
I just thought it was really interesting. That was something Brandon brought up earlier, that Dak Prescott was 100% owned and got dropped for Trevor Siemian, and even he as a Broncos fan was kind of like, I don't know about that one. So
yeah, I mean, I'm not picking him up. Like you definitely don't have to spend $5 on him. But that being said, I'm a staunch supporter of spending as much as possible on worthless players. So I can't really speak to that.
All right. Moving to go ahead.
I do have one more thing on this. I have a Brock and Rock of the week.
Brock of the week.
So this Brock and Rock of the week is Seattle specific. Pacific Ocean. My rock of the week is anybody going to see DFI at the High Dive tonight?
Rock of the week.
I believe that's tonight. I think I saw it on Twitter.
It is tonight, yeah.
Dunk. And my Brock of the week, once again, Seattle.
Brock of the week.
Anybody living in Seattle that is named Mike Schmidt, or if you interact with anyone named Mike Schmidt that is a Husky.
Yeah, dude.
So that's it. That's what I have.
Okay. I guess since we're doing segments now, I have a Brock of the week as well.
Brock of the week.
You brought him up earlier. Isaiah Crowell is my Brock of the week. He's getting like decent carries in Cleveland, but he's only got 60 yards on 27 carries, so that's a little under 3 yards a carry if you're good at math.
Ew. That's gross.
Also, the Browns are playing the Colts, which has like Thursday Night Football written all over it, and that just sounds extremely gross, and I don't want to have to watch that game. And I don't know, I don't like Isaiah Crowell as an RB2. I think Fronik should have played Tariq Cohen there and maybe held on to Sammy Watkins and had a little more depth or something like that, or used his depth for some good, or played Chris Carson, who he spent a lot of money on last week as well. So I don't know. I don't like Isaiah Crowell. I think I mentioned maybe in like earlier in the year that he was one of the guys I was targeting. I can't remember if I included him with Carlos Hyde and CJ Anderson. But I take it all back now.
CJ went off, right?
Yeah, CJ's a pretty good running back. So
yeah, a little bit better than Crowell, I'd say. Although that being said, Isaiah Crowell does have a pretty good hype video on YouTube. I've seen it in a couple of Caleb Nelson snaps. It's pretty entertaining. You should look it up. A lot of Crow references. Also, Croteen.
Croteen.
Yeah.
Interesting. Huh.
Anyway.
All right. Now to our next matchup. It's Luke, team I'm thinking Arby's, taking on Tim, Chick-fil-A J Green Burrito. This is the biggest difference between teams on the Fantasy Pro scale. Luke is coming in second with a 96.6, and Tim 12th with a 77.4. Luke is projected to have the higher score in every single position other than kicker, where the Green Burritos have Greg the Leg Ganeau projected to outscore Chris Boswell. Things are not looking good for the 0-2 Timmy Two Pints. Do you possibly see an upset brewing and a turnaround in week 3?
I think it'll be closer than 18 points, but I don't see any upset brewing. Not while DeMarco's still kind of in the gutter. That pick didn't really work out for Tim so far.
No.
And also, yeah, I mean, Tim's team, love the name, love Chick-fil-A, obviously, you know me. But bad team. Good name, bad team. Duke Johnson is another one of those guys, another Cleveland running back that he's not good. I don't know what to say about it.
He's the pass catcher, but he's only got 5 receptions for 79 yards. So he's caught more yards than Crowell has rushed for. So you really want to avoid Cleveland running backs.
Yeah, hot take. Cleveland running backs, not good fantasy players.
Hash browns, bad at football.
Yeah, hey. Not all hash browns. I like Calamari Cooper, obviously, but that's the Raider bias in me. He hasn't been good as he has been. What else? Yeah, I'm taking Luke in this one. Tim's got some big names on Luke has some big names I wrote down on his wide receivers, but kind of underperforming. I mean, Odell, I still don't know if he played or not. I didn't really watch that game, I'll be honest.
He did play. He had 4 receptions for 36 yards.
Well, there you go.
Only 5 targets, so.
There you go. I mean, I would take a healthy Odell over an injured David Johnson, but, you know, that's tough. I see here he's averaging 2.8. Demaryius has been all right, and Devontae, I don't know if he's good or not. I know I get a lot of trades for him. So you might see him on my team later in the year.
Hey, there you go. A little foreshadow.
I do. Yeah. Foreshadow. Foreskin shadowing. I do like Travis. Travis Kelce. That's going to bring that up. Catching feels. I'm catching feels with Travis Kelce once again. But you know me in tight ends. I like big, strong men. So. I drafted him last year for the exact same scenario that I had this year, losing a T1, and then I'd have Travis, but I didn't take Travis this year, and I should have, and I really regret that. So, Luke, if you want to throw me a bone and trade me Travis for, like, the Oakland kicker, Tavecchio, go ahead. Zeke's not going to score 18, I don't think, so... I think Luke takes it, but not by as much as he's projected to.
Interesting. Yeah, just for me, like looking at Tim's players, he's got a lot of guys that you would generally want to avoid. DeMarco Murray with his injury. I've actually got a what are the chances, another one. Jordan Hansign's here. I'm waving my hands around for you guys.
What are the chances?
Hey, what are the chances
that DeMarco plays or scores a touchdown this week?
Well, yeah, my actual what are the chances is, what are the chances DeMarco's lost his starting job? Because He's got 21 carries for a very nice 69 yards and only three receptions. And Derrick Henry played really well. I think he rushed.
So nice.
Yeah. I think it was like 20 carries for 98 yards. I think he had a touchdown. It could be a changing of the guard in Tennessee. And if it is, like, Tim is fucked. Like, DeMarco becomes an RB2, his RB, or like a second string. Duke Johnson is already second string. He's got Blaupol, who's maybe a starter. I don't know about
Blaupol.
Blaupol is I think the starter for New York. So he's got that cover. Paul Perkins is a backup, and Alvin Kamara is like a second string in New Orleans, maybe. So if Tim loses DeMarco to an injury, or like Derrick Henry just outplays him, like, he's done. Like, there's nothing, there's no amount of like mega points that Calamari Cooper can score, or Terrell Pryor. Like, Martavis Bryant had his one huge week. He'll probably have another one in like another six or whatever. But like, Tim's in one injury away to one specific player to just like having the season gone.
Yeah, I don't remember thinking Tim's draft was that bad, but yeah, if he loses DeMarco, I can't see you winning another game, Timmy. And that being said, I would say just call it a rebuilding year and send me Amari. But yeah, it's brutal if DeMarco goes out, because none of those guys are going to be able to make up for it.
Yeah. Also, a fun fact, possibly a sad fact. It has been 297 days and over 9 games since the New York Giants have scored over 20 points, which is very
bad. The New York Football Giants?
The New York Football Giants, yes. So it's been almost a year. I think it was like November of last year, like late November, they scored like 27 points, and that was the last time they got over 20, including their playoff game against Green Bay. In that time, Odell Beckham has only 4 touchdowns, and he averages about 55 yards a game. So as the Giants get worse, Odell's production gets worse. It's going to be interesting to see how Zeke comes back after his worst career game ever, if his attitude changes against Arizona's tough defense. So I think that'll be something to look for. I disagree. I'm also taking Luke. I think it is by a lot, just because Tim's got some pretty heavy question marks on his side, but I still think there's not all as well with Luke's team. I would keep an eye on that.
Yeah, that's interesting you bring up the Giants thing, because Brandon Marshall, I saw he dropped a couple of passes, and if the Giants don't score at all, then it might be another low-scoring game between Tim and Luke.
Very interesting. I still think I like the Javarius Allen pickup as well for Luke. I think with Terrence West being injured, like we talked about in Duncan's matchup, I think that's a good pickup, at least for running back cover. Because I don't think Luke, I don't think he's comfortable playing Joe Mixon as a starter, because he's just kind of been average. Tevin Coleman, Jaquiz, like those guys are just kind of change of pace, third down guys. So Luke is, he's kind of lacking an RB2 right now. So I'm sure
it's a moral thing for Mixon. He doesn't want to play him because of the whole, I mean, he beat his girlfriend. So
Luke would
never start anybody that that would have done that.
No, absolutely not. Not ever. No, he definitely wouldn't have drafted them in the second round or anything.
No, never.
No.
Yeah.
Let's go to our final matchup of the week. It's a big one. It's Scott's team. His now name is the Cleveland Hash Browns. He's looking for some wrestling revenge on Mike, Team, and Domicon Soup. Team Soup has a 93.1, good enough for fourth. Scott, your Hash Browns are 11th on the FP score scale at 80.3. Mike almost went full Patriot to my full Falcon, but he came up short. And another team had a huge week against you. You're actually in the top spot, or the worst spot, for points scored against the season. I know you want to get that win, and getting it against Mike would be pretty sweet, but you're projected under 100 points, and it's the biggest line of the week at 17. What do you think of your chances? What are you thinking of your team here? I mean, you've already called out Mike a little bit, but I'm sure you really want to beat the crap out of him, right?
Yeah, first of all, I would never call out Mike, so don't accuse me of that. Second of all, you know it's a bad year for me if I'm changing my team name twice during the same pod. It's never a good sign. It's a disorder in the clubhouse, but I like my chances this week against Soupy Mike, as we call him, as all the boys called him back in the day. Soupy Pants Mike. Let me check my notes. Like I said, I've been unlucky. I've scored a lot of points, and I don't think I've have a lot to show for it, except two big L's. My team's better than that. It sucks that I kind of have to start Jason Witten, who, if you guys listen to PMT, they kind of described it correctly. He can't really bend his knees anymore, so he's just a red zone threat. Although he scored 20 points last week, and Jordan talked me out of starting him, so that was awesome.
Mm.
Yeah, so, but at least Kerwin Williams got 2 points. That was cool. Still waiting for Snead. I have a need for speed, Snead, and he's not quite back yet, but when he comes back, I think that'll boost my chances. Get a W. I like my team a lot compared to Mike. He had a couple guys go off last week. Alshon went off. I don't think he'll have the same kind of week. And Ty of Montgomery, I don't think he's going to have that good of a week either. But I say that every week against whoever I'm playing. Like, no way they're as good as last week, this week. So I don't know. What do you think about him?
I think the biggest key to this is what kind of Thursday night game we get out of the Rams, and how they work Gurley against the Niners front line. Because the Niners are about league average, 19.8.
Gurley, you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Gurley. I think if the Rams kind of use him a lot and they eventually kind of break free and Gurley has a big game, like, that's a big sign for you. Like, I love Jason and all, but I don't think he's worth starting. Maybe, I mean, it's a decent play against New Orleans, just because he is getting just a ton of carries. But with McCaffrey out of the backfield, like you saw last week, what James White was able to do out of the backfield against the Saints, I think McCaffrey could have a big day, and that might shut down Jay Stu. I like the wide receivers in this matchup are all pretty tight as well. DeAndre going against New England is a tough one. Macklin in London is kind of weird. And for some reason, like, Sanu is the number one wide receiver in Atlanta, even though there's Julio. I don't get that.
Yeah, we all knew that going in.
Yeah, what a dummy. Passed on Matt Ryan and Mohamed Sanu. Jeez, should have just taken all Falcons, except Julio.
I don't know.
I keep thinking, like, Ty Montgomery, like, can't survive as a running back in the Green Bay backfield, and he's just, like, 17 and 26 points last week. I don't know, man. It's a tough one to call for sure.
Yeah, I'm hoping I don't JoJo myself this week and start somebody I shouldn't have. Hoping Rex plays and gets the same kind of reduction he did last week. Hoping Jason Witten survives to play another game. And I have one more rock of the week. Not so much a Brock, but just a rock.
Rock of the week.
That's a rock of the week as in like the stone that the Ten Commandments were carved into, written on. And first commandment is obviously Derek Carr will get at least 20 points every week. And the Raiders will win easily. That's it.
I mean, he's not going to get 20 points every week because he started the season with 18. So,
I mean, I round up usually.
Okay.
Yeah. Every week after the first week.
Oh, so he need a warm-up week. It is still preseason.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay.
Butt plug?
Are you still doing the your special segment you texted me about here?
Yeah. Actually, I'll introduce right now. We're going to bring on a special guest to the pod, and we're going to have a little quick little special segment. It's Jessie Gunn, and she's going to be reading some team names, food-related team names that she came up with, and Rick and Jessie are going to try not to laugh when she reads them. And I don't think it's going to happen. I think they'll laugh. But anyway, this is Jesse's team name, fantasy football team name, corner. Here she is.
All right, hello.
I am ready. I am ready for your fantasy team names now.
Okay. Forewarning you, they're really good. And a lot of you have heard the first one, but I'm going to say it anyway. So try not to laugh, even though you will, because they're amazing. Okay.
Oh, big head.
Okay, Tom Brady is the first one. I'm already laughing because I'm... Derek Carbohydrates.
That's a good one.
He didn't laugh.
No,
Marshawn Lunch.
All right.
I knew that one would get you. Okay. Cole Refried Beansley.
No.
That one's good.
Nope. Pip texted me one earlier, and he just said it was Dole Beasley, like the juice. That one's better.
Oh, that one is better.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay. PB&J J. Watt.
No.
It's good.
I already came up with PB&J J. Nelson.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're really ruining my confidence here, Rick.
I'm sorry.
Fine. Don't worry. I still have four more. They're the best ones. Okay, this one's funny. Michael Crabtreat. Get it?
I got it. I didn't laugh.
Okay, well, I laughed. Kareem Cheese Hunt.
Kareem Cheese? Oh, Kareem. Okay, that's a good one.
He didn't get it. Okay. Corey Coleslawman. Scott came up with that one, full disclosure.
Yeah, it's bad, Scott.
I know, it's terrible, right? And last one. Jordan Reed Robin.
No.
No, it's good.
I'm not feeling it.
Well, Marshawn Lynch really gotcha.
Yeah.
Pretty proud of that.
Yeah, that was a funny. I didn't expect it. That was a good one.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me on the pod.
No problem. Great first appearance.
I think we should make this a regular segment, honestly. I'll come up with more names.
Okay. All right, do you have anything else for this this week? You want to talk any more smack against Mike, try and get in his head, or mentally wrestle him?
I got nothing more to say to Mike. He knows what I have to say to him. Thanks for having me on, Rick. Appreciate it. And thanks for letting us try out that segment. And go Raiders. Shout out, Pip.
Totally forgot to add this in when Scott was on. We did get a response from Andrew. We're going to go ahead and play his thoughts on his trade for a slightly delayed Don't Trade Me Bro right here.
Hi, Rick. First time, long time. Calling in about the trade I made with Fronik this morning. Not really a surprise, but I had some terrible running backs and really needed to pick someone up before this next week. And Fronik had a ton of guys going into this week, so I ended up making a trade offer with him on Saturday morning. And over the past couple days, we've been going back and forth, sent maybe 20, 25 different trades to each other. Till last night, we texted and said, all right, let's figure this out. I have a ton of wide receivers. You have a ton of running backs. You need some wideouts. I need some running backs. So let's work this out. And after so many different trade offers not going through on both sides, we both sent each other a trade that we liked at the same exact time. We ended up going with the trade he sent me, which I'm pretty happy about. I preferred that trade over the one I sent him. So I think I got pretty much exactly what I needed out of this trade. A running back, not top tier running back, but someone who I think is going to get a lot of carries, especially with Rob Kelly, maybe ending up with a rib fracture, which is what I've read recently. Hopefully getting a lot of goal line carries and being used a little more in the offense, especially used a little more than he was last week. One of the reasons I wasn't initially looking at him was because I think he only got like 6 touches last week. So with Rob Kelly being out, I think it's going to be a pretty good trade for me, just needing some depth at running back. And I was also happy that I'm getting Sammy Watkins in the trade to supplement what I'm losing at wide receiver. I was okay giving away my number 2 wide receiver for some kind of running back depth. And it was nice to get another big target from LA to, to help out with some points where I need it. So overall, yeah, I think it's a good trade. I think we both got Exactly what we needed. He got a pretty solid wide receiver, and I got some depth at running back. Okay. Gonna go now.
Thank you, Fronik and Andrew, for sending in your comments on the trade. Really appreciate it. Good to get inside the mind of our traders instead of just assuming what they're thinking or trying to guess or taking things secondhand or whatever. Really appreciate it. Again, my thoughts on Andrew's point of view from this trade. I mean, I'm pretty happy I don't have to play Golden Tate this week, to be honest. I think that's a big boost for our matchup. I think looking at Andrew's roster, Watkins does add a good bit of depth, does have that tough schedule that Fronik talked about. Obviously, he's got to play the Niners, Seahawks, and Cardinals all twice this year, and those are all really tough matchups with essentially a rookie quarterback in Goff. And again, for Fronik, I don't know if he really improved his depth all that much considering the receivers that he has. Like I tried to explain with Brandon, they're guys that get a lot of targets but not necessarily turn them into a lot of production. They still need touchdowns to be solid fantasy options. The Seahawks line still needs a lot of work to get things together rolling on the offense. Fitzgerald, like I said, like with Scott, pretty old. And Tate, he's a good number one target, but you're not sure any week if Stafford is going to be the Stafford that's worth all the money that he's gotten or the guy who throws four picks in a game and, you know, plays poorly. And make sure you tune into High School Football on Friday nights where Tim Thompson and I will be on the call. All the information you need to know about that game is right here.
It's Friday Night Lights on the radio. It's the High School Football Game of the Week presented by Bi-Mart on KUGN News Talk 590. Join Nick Rogers and Tim Thompson as they bring you the best high school football matchup in the state each and every Friday night. From the X's and the O's to the detailed analysis of each play, KUGN is your home for the best high school football coverage in the state. Bi-Mart, get ready for your season for less.
I'm Nick Rogers. Join myself and Tim Thompson for this week's Bi-Mart Game of the Week between the Marist Spartans and the Ashland Grizzlies. It's the start of league play for these two Midwestern League teams who are both coming in at 1-2. Marist got their first win of the season in a tightly contested 21-20 win over Crater last week, while Ashland had their hands full taking on Churchill. Both teams are hoping to start league play off with a big win, and we'll be there to bring you all the action. Pre-game is at 6:45. Kickoff is at 7 on KUGN News Talk 590.